from Godel. I'm joined today by David Harrison. David, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Sarah. Yes, so I'm David Harrison. I'm VP of Sales at Godel. Been in the business now for the best part of 5 years, actually. So I'm effectively responsible for sort of the partners that we onboard into the business. We cap that every year in line with our growth. I suppose when I'm not doing this, I'm trying to keep my 14-year-old son alive as he's gets very, very mobile at the moment and grabbing everything that can harm him. But yeah, good to chat.
Fabulous. So obviously this chat is all about recruitment within a hybrid world. So that being said, how do you feel recruitment's changed within the IT world since the pandemic?
I think it's been a dramatic shift, really, in terms of naturally it's gone borderless. I think in terms of how kind of recruitment's kind of transpired, I think businesses are naturally kind of having to go fully remote was kind of the first thing when people were working from home and weren't advised or weren't allowed in certain circumstances to even come into an office environment. So effectively what they were left with is, how do we quickly get into a position where our teams can actually work productively when they're not in the office? That's effectively the first question. I think that's led to people just kind of figuring that out. So it's almost like digital transformations happened overnight or had to kind of get to that place really, really quickly. The next things happened, I think, as the people are starting to come back into an office, businesses are having to develop their view on, are they hybrid? Are they fully remote? What's their kind of business strategy around that? And I think that's kind of had a real knock-on impact to, I think, how people actually go about their recruitment process. So the things we're seeing at the moment are, for organisations that are still operating a bit of a hybrid recruitment strategy. So when I say hybrid, I mean coming into the office 1 or 2 days per week or X number of days per month. Effectively, that still gives your catchment area a certain radius from what your office is. So that still gives the talent pool a similar sort of region than probably what you would have recruited from normally. How other businesses have shifted off, they've gone fully remote. And then effectively they can recruit from any location. And that's kind of been their strength in terms of they've got the ability then to hire from completely from a whole different kind of geography. The impact we're seeing at the moment is how the people are doing it successfully are how well organizations and businesses are managing their onboarding strategy. I think that's been the key shift that we're seeing in the market. The difference between hybrid versus fully remote. And what's that meaning from a competitive landscape?
Yeah, fab. So you kind of touched on it there a little bit about that recruiting from further afield. And from your conversations, what's the feedback been? Has it been easier, harder? How has it affected in terms of salary? Has it affected in terms of people wanting to be 100% remote or coming in 1 or 2 days a week?
I think the initial feedback we've seen from clients is that, and from, I probably say, the majority of kind of CTOs, CIOs, chief digital officers from what I class as kind of mid-market to enterprise businesses. So when I say mid-market, I probably say a Times TechTrack 100 business right the way up to a business with a sort of £500 million sort of turnover, is that most seem to have the preference of doing hybrid first. That's kind of what the feedback we've seen. Then that's quickly started to shift at the point in which they're struggling from a recruitment delivery point of view, potentially even attrition. So the key ones we've seen, for example, are businesses in particularly in the Northeast, particularly in Leeds, areas that have had quite a competitive local talent pool. What's quickly transpired is that for those organisations, if they're competing against an organisation that's decided to quickly adopt and go fully remote, then they're having a high degree of potential churn in their business, particularly if the area, and no discredit, but if the salaries in those locations are slightly lesser than, for example, a London weighted salary or somewhere where the salary for the technology role is particularly quite high, then that's having a real knock-on effect to their business. So, for example, if a software engineer in Newcastle is typically paid 30 to 40K, however, he can go and work for a very nice fintech like Starling or Monzo or one of the hyper sort of growth VC-backed ones and get an extra 40, 50, 60K on their basic and still remain in Newcastle, then that is having a real impact on attrition rates. So that's a typical kind of key trend that we're seeing. But the interesting thing I noticed was that businesses typically adopted hybrid first, and then quickly, as recruitment's potentially been impacted, now they've had to perhaps operate at a fully remote level.
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel that there's been any new particular roles that have come to market that you've seen companies working for example, DevSecOps?
Yeah, we've seen quite a few things kind of pop up, really. DevSecOps is definitely one that's kind of popped up. I've also seen people putting a lot more focus around their, what I'd almost class as like engagement managers, onboarding people, I suppose almost the shift left approach to the recruitment side of things. I've heard a lot of conversations around people having to invest in those types of roles because they're having people fall out of the recruitment process far sooner than they would have expected. So, for example, if a candidate has accepted a job offer, they typically would they'd be fine. That's it until the point in which they would start. They've now had, I've seen people having like onboarding managers who'd actually keep in contact with that candidate post offer to make sure that they've managed any kind of counter offer scenario, which seems to be becoming far more prevalent. So people almost investing in the, I'd almost call it like the HR experience to drive company engagement, really make sure that they are, I suppose, communicating the value mission statement of the business very, very effectively, so they can drive a bit of a, if you think about it, an awareness and affinity, or helping that person feel like they're attached to the business prior to starting. I'm seeing that's been a real key focus.
Yeah, fab. So obviously you kind of touching it there about having HR be a lot more in depth from interview stage than onboarding. So let's talk about that interview stage. So from what conversations you've had, how have you found that interviews have been taking place? How have you found that people have gauged how a person would fit into a workplace culture? And has there been any changes in format to help assess this?
I think the one thing we've made a conscious effort around is shortening our, or streamlining, should I say, our recruitment process. So we typically would have potentially a three-step process in play. Now we've kind of got that down to two-step process, and been very, very clear in terms of trying to communicate the culture that we've got in the business, but also trying to get a very strong feel for the environment that person would like to work in. So almost a little bit like trying to ascertain like a social contract throughout the conversation. So yes, you go for the standard competency-based questions to get a feel for the type of individual, their experience, where they've done things before, and kind of backing that up. But naturally then it's also understanding the ways of working that they have been useful and are looking to replicate and like to move towards, and also the management style that they would like to work in that environment, so that they know what they would like and the culture they would like to step into that generates the best results for them as an individual. So I think they're the areas we've definitely tweaked. The other one naturally is doing the interviews virtually. So that is we've still changed it slightly, but not dramatically. So what I mean by that is we used to always do a step of our process typically in the office or meeting the candidates face to face. Now it's the first stage process will be done virtually over Teams or Zoom or whatever it needs to be. But we've still kept the second stage in the office in Manchester for the face-to-face, regardless if the person is in London, in Scotland, wherever that might be. The main reason for that is, even if we're going to offer a role that's going to be remote or hybrid, or depending on where that person is based and giving them the flexibility around that, I think it's still very important to have a sense of what they are, the environment they will be working in with some face time if they're going to step into the office, to get a feel of meet the people face to face and talk some of those things through, so they understand the environment, the business, the culture, communication of the strategy, where it's looking to go towards. Because one thing I'm always worried about is anyone coming into the business not having a very clear understanding of where it's been and where it's looking to go, and then understanding, I suppose, the expectations from both parties, that social contract really, about what you're all working towards. Because one of my biggest fear is someone joining the business, and even if they worked in a fully remote manner, not feeling part of that business. And that's key. So the work you'd have to do after that. So that's typically how it's changed at the moment.
Yeah, and do you feel that that's similar across the market within various different businesses for various different groups?
And to be honest, like, so that's kind of the feedback I gave there was probably from a Godel perspective. What we've seen from the market, it's been quite interesting, to be honest. We ran a wine tasting event previously, and some interesting feedback in some of the breakout sessions around a business that is based in Manchester. They're a smallish kind of fintech, heavily funded. They are fully remote. However, they've still got an office in one of the WeWorks for if people wanted to take up a co-working space, they're still given that opportunity. The challenge they've had is people falling out or leaving the business. So they've gone fully remote. I've noticed quite a bit of a challenge around attrition because they're people not reaching out for little simple questions. So an example he gave was one of my key engineers left because they didn't like the laptop they have. Like something as small kind of, and as almost like inconsequential as that, but the CTO was basically advising, well, you could have had a conversation about that, it's not a problem. But it was almost, they were catching a lot of these things after the fact, because these would have perhaps been picked up at like, you know, water cooler type conversations, or you know, pull on the side and walk in between certain offices or certain kind of ad hoc conversations, but they seem to be being missed. So I'm seeing some businesses have a little bit of a think and a play about how they tweak aspects of that. A lot of businesses have, as well, I know we've spoke to Sky before, and they've gone down the route of just doing all of their interview process completely remote. Again, a lot of people doing the same theme around streamlining their recruitment end to end, just because the amount of candidates that are dropping out as part of that process, because there's a little bit, hearing the word supply shock get mentioned quite a few times from and the scary thing is it doesn't matter almost if you are, it's the theme seems to be, it's completely agnostic of the size of business. If you're a large business like Sky, you've got a huge brand, versus even if it's a startup SME business, the themes still seem to be ringing true. I've seen some other businesses that have shared that they're trying to introduce more. So for those who adopted a fully remote, I remember talking to a business at one of the roundtables that we had, and they shared they're trying to introduce like what they call it now, almost like candidate assessments, but psychometric profiling, a version of that, not too heavyweight, but in a way to understand how driven and comfortable is this individual around working in a very, if it's a fully remote setup, what they're like in terms of autonomy, driven around certain motivators, goals, and that sort of requirement, to make sure that actually if this person is going to be working in a fully remote environment, they're going to be set up to succeed within that.
Fab. Okay, that leads quite nicely. So from the conversations you've had, if a business has already adjusted to hybrid working and people office days and naturally formed due to lockdown, how do you translate that hybrid policy to new starters that have kind of never done this before? So how do you help decide what's best for them, or how have companies that you've spoke to help decide what's best for them?
In terms of the policy process and the transition from what is a slightly different ways of working to a new one?
Yes. So somebody has previously been in the office 5 days a week, and now you're giving them an option to be able to work from home 4 days a week and only have to come into office 5 days a week, 1 day a week, sorry, as opposed to the five.
I think it's all the feedback we've seen is it's purely about over communication as much as possible, understanding that, you know, the communication with the teams is all around, okay, this is a new policy, this is the new process. I suppose some companies have talked to us about it's been challenging around if there are certain shared workspaces. I've heard of businesses in the travel sector, for example, where their product owners and business analysts, people that are typically congregate around a whiteboard, have struggled with that most, and they have certain shared meeting spaces where, for example, typically towards the end of either at the beginning or at the end of a project life cycle where they have to do the next iteration, that's typically where these people congregate around a whiteboard, around shared space to actually kind of map some of these things out. And they've had to be really quite stringent in terms of how they communicate who's going to be in the office and when, so they get, everyone can have, basically making sure that they've got the ability to use that space when they're actually in there. I've heard it, for example, when last speaking to Manchester Airport Group, they were toying with the idea of having like product owner Tuesdays, for example, so that on this certain day of the week, this space is dedicated towards these types of people. And then maybe on a particular day of the week, it's more the sales teams that can use more of the shared space around whatever it might be. And then effectively redefining their policies in terms of the when to be in the office, who to communicate that to. And then naturally, what that might impact in terms of safeguarding, in terms of who's in the office at when, because obviously there's COVID protocols that you might have to follow. And knowing that at that point, so if there ever was someone who, for example, came into contact or unfortunately got COVID, they can communicate that then to the rest of the office and who was in the office at what time and when. So seeing quite a lot around that, but it's all kind of centered around making sure they have those one-to-one conversations with the team, sharing that feedback, and then obviously updating any policies and then rolling that out.
So you kind of touched on it there, which I'm presuming is going to be the answer to this next question, but how have you heard the onboarding processes at businesses have changed, or how has Godel's onboarding changed? So that onboarding of new starters remotely, if it's welcome packs, emails to let them know about new starters, or letting them know about COVID procedures and diffusing any anxieties if they are coming into the office.
Yeah, I think that's changed quite dramatically, because it's a lot of stuff that you may have taken for granted that you would just do face to face in an office from day one. It's this kind of theme of everyone shifting their onboarding life cycle to the left, where it's either a welcome pack that people might be creating. It's maybe a conversation with the individual prior to starting, where it's shared around kind of their hobbies, their interests, their likes, previous kind of roles and stuff in terms of what they're bringing into the business to do, and where you can kind of reach out to them to say hello if you want to have. So her business is almost doing like it's a get to know your team welcome pack type thing, or get to know your new team member. Then they have like a certain like virtual welcome lunch that's kind of in the diary, kind of get to know your team member sessions that are in and scheduled. I've even found people doing things like a buddy system. I've heard some organisations, which is quite interesting, which is let's say, for example, they prior to them starting, and say that this person in my world, for example, was stepping into sales and into my team. But what we'd do is almost assign them with a buddy or a mentor who'd be the person they'd have a conversation with and then get to know them. And then before they then step into that kind of that broader team. So at least if they didn't feel comfortable engaging with a wide audience in a big virtual environment, for example, they'd have that one person that almost like as a friend system that they can go to as either a mentor or a buddy to help kind of bounce ideas off. So definitely seen a lot of that happen. Probably more work's fallen onto the HR onboarding side as an output of communication of new policies, new standards, helping them feel safe in terms of if those organisations are either still in the office fully or gone hybrid, you know, if you are to come into the office, these are the new policies around cleaning the office workspace, making sure that certain, they don't have scheduled treatments of the office desk to make sure that it's all good, that safety protocols are being observed, X number of people in a meeting room, screening certain desks off, how many people can use the kitchen at a certain time, all that kind of stuff to make sure that, I suppose, for those people who are naturally anxious, and if that was part of the offering, they know that it's a safe environment that they can come into. So definitely seeing a lot of that. It's interesting to see how different businesses are trying to tackle it. For me, the key thing is engagement. How do they engage with their new hires and their existing staff? How do they then keep them engaged after they start, regardless if it's hybrid or fully remote? That definitely seems to be a key theme.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously that's when new starters are officially joining the business. How do you ensure that they still remain part of the team during the work from home situation? So have you seen anyone do additional team bonding days or anything more than what they'd have done prior to lockdown?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've heard of businesses, particularly across the financial services sector, where it would almost be a little bit traditional. So for example, you would have a new team member join, you may meet him in the office sometimes he might do a welcome lunch for it, and effectively the next time you might see them would be either a sales or an operational session in 1, 2, 3 months time. people are finding that they've had to really kind of scrap that and almost adopt a little bit like an agile kind of way of working, where, for example, they might have a stand-up, they might have a more informal kind of coffee drop-in sessions with those as a group, and that's gone out across the board to stop things like, I've heard, what's the word, Zoom fatigue, VC fatigue, all that kind of stuff that comes with having back-to-back Teams meetings and video conference calls, where they had like little drop-in sessions where it's like, it's in the diary. I've seen people do like virtual coffees, virtual lunch where anyone can drop in. To other ones where they're doing like quizzes, random kind of team social events, either for the team itself or for the broader business, which has been quite handy to do those kind of check-ins. And then additionally, I've heard of businesses dropping just more, I suppose, formal ceremonies in the diary around just checking in with a team member. So like retros at the end of a week, just to get an update from the team members and making sure that they do have maybe a higher schedule of one-to-ones for those people who aren't in the office at all, just to make sure that maybe the one-to-one might be around, not about work things, but around purely just catching up, how you're getting on. Might be a 15-minute coffee and a catch-up with your direct report, and they're using on that basis just to make sure everything's okay, because you typically would have had that in the office, and making sure that's replicated.
Yeah, fabulous. So finally, how do you feel the pandemic has affected retention across the market?
I think it's had a massive negative impact on retention, unfortunately. I think the answer to it is probably twofold. You probably had those people who, like the conversations we've had in the market, I'll give you an example, were probably across travel. So we've had a lot of clients come to us, particularly in the travel sector, either across aviation, or they're a travel ISV, or they're a travel booking provider, and they've come to us saying, look, we went through a process, travel got absolutely decimated as an industry. Now post-COVID, touch wood, that the world is kind of opening up again. We during that period, they've had to furlough 80, 90%, 100% of their staff. Now, as a consequence of that, a lot of people may, when they're coming back into the office or the furlough restrictions are being removed, people having a really hard conversation about, do I want to do this as a career? Would I like to move? You know, people are creatures of habit. Do I want to perhaps potentially move away from that risk by changing sector? Do I want to move into something that's different, what they might foresee as being more stable should pandemic 2.0 come? And everything is, because their demand just got turned off overnight. So I've seen a lot of companies come to us and have a conversation about just when they've tried to re-engage people post furlough, they've actually decided not to come back to the business. And then they've had a real impact then on trying to find candidates in the market that would be interested into coming into that from a software engineering or technical standpoint. So I think things like that from one side, people perhaps having to think about what they want to do with their career. So people coming back from furlough, that's had an impact on attrition rates. The flip side is the hybrid remote conversation. Businesses now competing with, if you imagine, most traditional organizations compete with other organizations on a recruitment front around the geography of your area. Now you're competing on a global standpoint, which I think is very hard for those organizations that are in slightly lower paying areas traditionally, because now you can go and work for whoever and get a much higher salary. So that's definitely had a massive impact on retention and attrition rates. I'd probably say the other bigger problem that I heard a lot of people talk about is mental health. And it's for all the right reasons. I've seen a lot of good businesses doing some positive work around it, which is, if a business doesn't really proactively manage workload and have a real focus around engagement, keeping on top of how the pulse of your team and the pulse of the and the pulse of the company, that people will either burn out or they won't tell you exactly how they're really feeling. It's going to have a real knock-on effect in terms of how they work, because you know not every individual is geared up to work effectively from home, even if your business is offering that. So I've seen that have an impact. Obviously, naturally, people will leave. So it's having a bit of an impact on attrition rates. So I've seen it go the other way. I think just purely from those kind of three core areas, really. But I think the upshot, I think longer term, for businesses that get it right, have a very strong focus on their engagement strategy, double down on the values of the business, the mission statement. The USPs probably have to be redefined because it's a far more competitive market now, and have a far more focus on people well-being. I think those businesses are really going to thrive, because if you think about it, work-life balance, it's going to be the upside of that in terms of being able to close down your laptop at the end of the day and be with your family or your friends and have that, I suppose, more time to actually have that flexibility. That the upside of that in terms of the productivity gains and the engagement gains and people who actually enjoy where they work and feel part of a business, that's going to have a huge upside potential longer term as well.
Yeah, fabulous. And I think that kind of, that sums a lot of things up. So is there anything that you'd like to maybe leave at the end of this conversation with it from a hybrid world, or anything that you've seen that you'd like to impart your wisdom on?
Good question. I would probably say, I think the key thing for me is to over communicate as much as possible. I think there's even been times where I myself have probably noticed that things that were typically left unsaid in a face-to-face environment was easy to kind of pick up on when you could read the room in a meeting room and see that person who perhaps was being slightly less vocal, or maybe even things where you pick up on just non-verbal cues that perhaps they, I don't know, we've all got a home life and things that happen outside of work. That's what contributes to us as an individual. They're much easier to pick up on in a face-to-face environment. And it's not to forget the things that aren't said. So I think the leaving message there would be to over-communicate as much as possible. Spend a lot of time and focus around having those ad hoc informal check-ins with your team members, and also trying to drive as much interaction, collaboration in joint team sessions, so that it's not maybe one or two people dominating the conversation, so you're making sure everyone's kind of voice is being heard. And I think that's the key kind of takeaway I've kind of noticed, which is you'll then find if you just don't make the call or the check-in sometimes, or have a one-to-one where it's just not always about work, you'll typically get a hell of a lot from that. And that to me is probably the key thing that I've learned.
Fabulous. Well, it's been great to speak with you, David, and thank you for your time.
No, brilliant. Thanks, Sarah.